Welcome to Self-Proclaimed Intellectual.
You've just got a smile and hang out with intelligent people.
Welcome to Self-Proclaimed Intellectuals number 3. Welcome back, Adam.
Thanks. Do you think we're gonna count, say which number it is every single time?
That's a good
or like
question.
When do we stop that? When does it just become like, right, we get it, guys, this is number 1426.
Exactly. So last time we, you know, we doubled the amount that we did with the second episode.
If I was good with math, if I was good with math, I'd tell you what it is now. I don't know what it is when you do 3.
Well, right now it's 50% increase, so I got your back, man. This is where we diverge. But yeah, like episode 2048 will be like, we doubled again.
Oh, yeah.
2 to the 5th or whatever.
It's just like that game, isn't it? Is that where you got that number?
Yeah, 2048. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Great. Okay. Well, we're excited to be back, and thank you for tuning in again, as
usual.
Adam
is sick.
Yeah, and please forgive Adam. He's got a little raspy voice that's going to show, but he's going to power through because we love you guys. So
Travis told me after listening to our last podcast I didn't have a radio enough voice, so I drank some cleaning products to try to give me more of like a Barry White.
Cleaning products.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you like injected your throat with steroids like the 80s hair metal bands.
I don't have access to those things.
Okay. All right.
So I drank cleaning products.
Next time.
I'm talking like vinegar, guys. Not like something bad.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, today we have 3 sessions for you as usual. We have a Philosophmores where we're going to discuss global warming. And really, we're not going to discuss so much the facts behind it, but kind of the cultural debate around it and see what we have to think about that. We have a thought du jour, which is a new session. We haven't actually done a thought du jour yet, but yep. It's just kind of an interesting thought about the crown of the Himalayas. We'll get to that when we get to it. And then finally, we have Fandemonium, our first letter in. That person is going to get it.
We have 2 letters.
We have 2 letters to read.
And a special story.
And a story. And at least the 2 people that sent letters in, we're going to get some t-shirts printed up and incentivize them. So
yes.
If you have any comments on this podcast, email podcast@travislane.com.
Philosophmores.
All right. Yes, our first Philosophmore for today is about global warming. And I actually am pretty hot right now.
So
that's
all the evidence you need.
I actually thought about getting a fan before we did this one, but then I figured there'd be background noise.
Okay.
So as far as I'm concerned, done.
Well, you're already naked. We record these just completely buck nude. It's really authentic podcast.
It is. I don't even know what's
going on. Got nothing on that one, huh? Well, why don't you bring us in, Adam? What are we going to talk about?
Well, what I find interesting about the global warming debate is why we're really debating it. As much as we are, yes, there might be some, I guess, some debate, but saying that there's a debate starts a debate, as if there's a debate, you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of annoying to me. And we'll get into a little more of that, but I feel both sides should be on the same side, and we're fighting over reasons.
Yeah.
And I think it's a bit ridiculous in how much we've turned it into a political standpoint and all these different things. It's gotten a bit much for me. So I think we should just go over that. Do you want to start off by just going over the 2 sides?
Sure.
Just kind of what sides, both sides are. Basically is we have one side, the scientists, and I know we are kind of looping in here and we're kind of stereotyping, but that's kind of what's happening. You have the scientists who are claiming that global warming is a real issue that we need to take care of now, being caused by humans.
That's right.
You agree?
I would say that's pretty accurate, yeah.
Then you have the, let's call them non-scientists, who claim that global warming is not happening or isn't happening at a threatening pace, and it's not caused by humans,
right?
And we shouldn't be worried about it.
Yes.
And they're upset that we're spending so much money on dealing with an issue that's not an issue.
Yes, agreed.
Okay.
And there's a lot of argumentation on both sides, obviously. We said, you know, what are we really debating over? Is there just debate to be debate?
Yeah.
And I think so. I think that this is something that's probably going to show up a lot because Adam and I share the same view. Not necessarily we share the same opinions of things, but our approach to problem solving is similar. So I think both of us are really upset with the political rhetoric. And it's not so much that we agree or disagree so much with one side. It's that we're saying, why are we really arguing about this in the first place? Isn't there kind of an obvious solution?
So I think it's a joke that global warming, maybe I shouldn't say it's a joke, but that it's a standpoint politically at all when there's so many other serious issues. I mean, poverty and economics and all this kind of stuff. But yet I'm hearing things on the radio for advertisements for politicians that are completely focused around global warming.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, not to pick sides or say that one's good or bad, but a whole percentage of Al Gore's political campaign mm-hmm. was based on, you know, his inconvenient truth, the global warming, basically what kicked it off in the culture's mindset anyway.
And we found out that it was all false.
Yeah, is that true?
I'm not going there. I am on neither side. Please don't take that as either way. Let me give you a few facts here. We'll see what that leads into.
All right.
We kind of see what both sides are. I have that, and I found this on a couple different sites. So I'm gonna believe it's true. Because the internet has never lied to me.
It's on the internet.
97% to 98% of scientists believe it's caused by humans. Mm-hmm. And then I found one that said 1 in 2 people, I'm assuming they meant non-scientists.
Mm-hmm. Just general public.
1 in 2 people believe it's not created by humans.
So not happening, just not created by people.
By people, by what we're doing.
Okay.
Yep. Which I found that interesting that they said 1 in 2. 1 in 2 would be 50%, right?
Alrighty, you think so?
Because they didn't say 50%, I started questioning myself and saying,
wait,
am I missing something?
Yeah.
Are there 1 in 2 people making 3? So it's 33%? I got confused.
I'm with you. No, anyways. The way, you know, that's another topic. Here's a 10-second offshoot. The way you hear statistics is a whole bunch, you know.
Yes.
It's so impactful. Like, 10,000 people died due to this virus. But if it's 10,000 out of, you know, a billion people, it's such a small percentage.
Yes.
Anyway, okay. So that aside, there are a lot of people, despite the opinion of most scientists, that think that global warming either isn't happening or, in this case, is not caused by humans.
Yes.
So let me ask you this, Adam. Why does it matter?
It doesn't. You know what's interesting? I was thinking about this in... I was thinking back to when I was a young child, you know, frolicking through the grass and
the
playing.
Woods.
Yeah, frolicking through the woods, picking berries. We were hunters and gatherers. I remember clearly, that was, I know it's weird for me to say, but that was 20 years ago, 22 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we knew back then, you know, hole in the ozone layer and all these different things are bad and burning things are bad. I mean, there was no question that burning things and all the carbon dioxide and all those things putting into our atmosphere was bad.
Right.
Nobody ever debated that.
Right.
And I don't, as far as I know, that has not changed. Mm-hmm. That's still a bad thing for our atmosphere.
And yet there are some people that, you know, as if to spit in the face of science or in the face of this debate, will on purpose drive their enormous trucks and, you know, remove all the mufflers. And obviously there are some people that just enjoy that, but there are some people that are consciously taking
doing
a stand.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why to me, it doesn't make sense that we're debating it, because are humans causing it? Are they not? Either way, we shouldn't be polluting as much.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you, and I could totally be wrong here, but I think if you nailed down a lot of these people who say they don't believe in global warming, would still say we need to try to cut down on pollution.
Yes.
Especially people that live in or out of or know of how bad it is in, you know, other countries. We recognize that we don't want our cities to be so pollution clogged.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what's causing that pollution. I mean, nobody's going to argue that New York or these different places that have smog is caused by nature.
Right.
I mean, it's not a question.
It's very, very obvious in super urban areas like L.A.,
Yeah, so I don't understand why we're arguing it. I mean, is it caused by us? Is it not? Who cares? Why don't we cut pollution?
Yeah. So I think that's basically kind of the difference of approach that we have. Instead of saying, well, I'm, you know, a Republican, and so I think that it's, you know, it's made up so that people can get their grant money, can do all this research on really nothing, mm-hmm. versus Democrats, you know, who are typically on the side of the aisle of it's a real thing, we need to take care of it. My thing is, so as somebody who is a believer of the Bible, I go, I don't really care whether or not it's happening. And I understand some of the doubt of, you know, popular media and how they represent things. I totally get that. But in my opinion, you know, either we have evolved to, you know, be the dominant species on the planet, the most intelligent, and we can make changes to the environment as a whole.
Yes.
Or we were created and given stewardship of the planet, in which case it doesn't matter.
Either way, we should
take care of it either way.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. And like I was reading some research on, you know, if it wasn't human caused, like it's happened before, right? We know that global warming has happened, and it comes in big phases, and there have been times that it's happened that was not caused by humans, because humans maybe weren't here.
Sure. Well, I think that's one of the you know, the people that don't agree with it, or they don't think it's happening or caused by humans, they say, yes, well, there are larger cycles that we don't understand. And that, yes, I get too, you know, solar cycles that are, I think, 13 years from peak to peak.
Yeah. But the problem was, every one of those times ended a disaster.
Mm.
Like complete destruction of the Earth.
Yeah.
So again, who cares if you believe why, or if it's humans or not? I mean, we should be taking care of the planet.
Agreed. And I think it's that difference in approach that makes, that's something that we do want to give you, the listeners, is a way to approach problems that's not based on political lines, but based on, well, what should we do? If I were to make this decision, removing the political rhetoric, removing, you know, what I've heard about it,
yeah,
what would I decide in that case? And then to go forward with that.
And not just removing the political, but removing that it came from a scientist.
Sure.
That's my other thing that I was saying, that there was a trust issue. And I found this one stat from Gordon Gashot from the University of Wisconsin that said 42% of people don't have confidence in the scientific community.
Yeah.
So either the scientific community isn't right, or some of the things I was reading, which I kind of agree with, scientists are so focused on what they're doing.
Yes.
They're not spending time on...
They need PR, man.
Connecting well with people.
Yeah.
And there's just no trust there.
That's right. Well, it's either so far over people's heads that they can't connect with it, or, you know, to blame the scientists at some level,
yes,
they aren't able to communicate it on a level that people sympathize with.
Or, and I don't want to get into the blame game here, but, or a scientist brings out a very simple finding and the media blows it up.
Yes.
And the scientist never meant for it to be this staple political issue, and it just became it.
Yeah, agreed. So I think to wrap this section up, we've got some other, one of the things, sorry, I have to say this too. One of the things that I saw was if you consider the number of species that have gone extinct in the last 100 years, we're technically in a global mass extinction event, just because the number of species that are dying off. So while humans, obviously, we're dominant, we have technology, we have all these things to counteract what is happening around us in nature, so we kind of can't see what's happening.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff is going wrong. And so that's one thing to pay attention to.
And we just don't want to believe it. And I'll speak to it myself. I mean, I have a hard time saving money,
mm-hmm,
because I have a hard time looking into the future. And I think that's one of our problems as humans too. Like, I would have a hard time stop driving my car to help save my great, great grandchild.
Right.
Because it's so far out there.
That you've never met. Yeah. Your son is 4.
I know. So it'll be a while.
Yep. So the way we think about problems is the important part here. And I think whatever political affiliation you may have, just stop and think, this is our world. And whether or not, you know, we are doing permanent damage, we should take care of it.
And I would imagine that most of us would be for global warming in general. Global warming equals more bathing suits.
Oh, yeah.
More beach time.
That's right. Well, the Arctic moves up, so Canada's, yeah, like, yeah, bring it on.
I know, and Kansas becomes a desert.
Great. I'm really looking forward to it.
I like sand.
All right. Let's go into our next segment.
Un petit ghetto, une station de métro, entourée de bistrots, Pigalle, grand magasin, atelier de rapin, restaurant pour rupin.
Thought du jour.
All right, this is our first French segment.
Yeah.
So Travis is going to start us off by doing it all in French.
Oui.
Si.
That's pretty much all that I know. So Thought du jour is kind of our random segment that we can't really fit into anything else. And today we're going to be talking about the crown of the Himalayas, which is a really cool just phrase.
Yep, it was a beautiful crown that was dug up recently in an archaeology dig.
It's the size of a mountain.
Yes.
It's incredible, yeah. So the Crown of the Himalayas is actually a title given to any climber who summits the 14 peaks around the world that are over 8,000 meters in height, which is about 26,000 feet. And Radek Jaros, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, from the Czech Republic, he was the 15th person in recorded history to climb all of the 8,000ers without supplemental oxygen.
Can I stop you there?
Yes.
This is going to show my total Americanness. Because the first time I looked into this, I saw he climbed all the 8,000ers. And I was like, 8,000 feet? I could do that.
What a wuss.
I was like, oh, wait. I'm American, and I'm the only one that doesn't use a metric system.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I wish we would, too. As an engineer, it's nice.
I saw, you know, for the longest time, I was a complete believer in a metric system until I saw a meme the other day.
Oh, gosh. You were convinced by a meme.
Yes, it was because it was so convincing. It was a picture of the moon landing.
Uh-huh.
It said, there are all the countries that use a metric system, and then there's a country that landed on the moon.
Pretty clever. Pretty clever. Very nice. So, yes, 8,000 meters, 26,000 feet, which is like 5.25 miles or something like that. It's way up there. That's above sea level. So he was the 15th to do it without supplemental oxygen and 33rd to climb all 14 of them overall. And it's an impressive feat. So I find this high altitude...
Which I'm going to make another input here. That's very clever wording you used there. It's impressive feat. Because there's a very interesting...
Unintended. I didn't even mean it.
You totally meant it.
I didn't mean it.
Should we go into that now, or should I let you keep going?
All right, it's cool. I'll keep going.
Okay.
So the coolest thing, I find this high-altitude mountaineering to be really fascinating. I never even want to do it. I just find it really interesting. So the biggest part of this is that above 8,000 meters, 26,000 feet, the atmospheric pressure is so low that you only get about a third of the oxygen in, you know, regular atmosphere at sea level. Okay. And that means that all kinds of crap starts happening. So not only are you climbing to the top of a mountain, you're doing it with less oxygen than the human body can even sustain.
Yes. I could do it. You know, what is funny though, and this is joking a little bit because I'm saying it, but we went to Colorado this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Being on Pike's Peak killed me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a 14.
Right.
And it is shocking how much it affects you. I mean, literally walking 10 feet at a brisk pace. And I'm a fairly in shape guy. I was tired.
Just beat. Mm-hmm.
So well, I can't imagine being that high.
And a lot of sports teams will train at high altitudes.
Yeah.
They'll train in the Alps or, you know, it's famous that Denver's Mile High Stadium is so hard to play at for that reason.
I've never played there.
I have.
Wow.
Yeah,
that'll be another segment.
I'm like 5'7". I was a professional football player at one time. Yeah, No, it's all good. So, so above 8,000 meters, like we're talking about, where the atmospheric pressure is so low, the oxygen is really low. It's called the death zone, which is, you know, kind of a metal name. Pretty awesome.
A place most people would try to stay away from.
A place that most people, but mountaineers are like, we're doing it.
Well, it's interesting because the highest point is the death zone, and then you have Death Valley. Which is
the lowest? Well, is it the lowest?
I don't know.
It's pretty low.
Pretty low.
Okay. And that's the point at which, so up to 8,000 meters, if you spend some time in the altitude, you can kind of acclimatize. Your body starts to react and to respond and counteract it so that you can breathe normally. Above 8,000 meters, nobody is able to. No high altitude Sherpa or anything. Once you're there, that's why it's the death zone. There's no acclimatizing.
That's interesting.
So to climb these peaks, each and every one of them, you have to go to where, if you were to stay there, I think it's 48 hours in the death zone, and you're a goner.
Wow. I don't think I would want to try that.
So the 14 peaks, everyone knows that the number one is Mount Everest. It's the tallest. It's not, however, the most difficult climb. It's actually a pretty simple mountain to climb as far as technical skill goes. And
I think especially nowadays, we use simple in a relative term. I understand that. Right. Still be very difficult. I saw an interesting picture of it the other day, though, that and it was a line of people climbing it.
Yes.
It was just a whole line.
Yeah, a lot of people will die not because of the mountain, but because of traffic.
Yeah.
They'll get stuck and they can't move. So Everest, and also because of that commercialization, there's a lot of tour companies and guide companies, and that makes Everest an actually pretty easy climb. The death rate of people climbing Everest is like 4.5%. K2, which is the second tallest, which this Jaros guy, it was his last climb, it's about 20%, and a lot of people consider it to be the most difficult in the world. Yeah, it's much more technically challenging. Adam, in fact, is suffering from high altitude sickness right now.
In the basement.
So, yeah, the death rates on K2, and then a couple of the others, Kangchenjunga, I guess, which is the third tallest, and Annapurna, which is the 10th tallest, their death rates for climbers are around 20%.
Wow.
So, they're all the crazy ones.
Yeah.
So.
I don't have anything to say to that. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you don't. I've never heard any of those names,
right?
You know, it's so focused on Everest.
Exactly.
I've heard K2, but it's because I used to have a mountain bike that there's a brand of mountain bike called K2.
Okay, and it's probably based on that too.
Yeah, most likely. Fantastic. Just to sell things.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people may have heard of K2 recently because in the last couple of years there was a big avalanche disaster that killed, I think it was 13 people that were climbing it. So they're still incredible.
But, yeah.
But our congratulations go out to Radek Jaros for doing it without any extra oxygen, and for doing it at all.
And I would assume he's sponsored.
You know, that's a great question.
Because like you can't do those unless that was all you did.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things I thought about on this too. Is I would never want to climb the mountain. Like I said, we went to Pikes Peak, and I was literally
that was enough.
Clutching the wheel, just seeing that much of a drop. Uh-huh. I hate heights, but there are definitely. There are definitely huge, you know, supporting things I think would be great. But there's no way you can do them unless you're sponsored.
Yeah. It takes like 60,000 to have a guided tour of Everest.
Yeah. I could do that.
you could spend a couple of those, but not too much more.
No, not much more than that, I mean.
You know, that's probably another challenge. All these people like break all these records, you know. It's just like when you watch a sports game and they say, this was the first time that a batter, after he chewed Wrigley gum, hit a home run with runners on, you know. Who tracks these things?
So somebody gets paid to do it.
Yes.
Going back to the feet thing, though, did you not see this?
See,
the thing about this guy, I forgot his name already.
Uh-huh.
About his feet.
Oh yeah, that's right. Tell us.
Well, his last climb that gave him the crown of the Himalayas, he did after losing to frostbite. Was it all toes?
I think it was seven.
Seven of his toes. Seven of his toes.
More than none. Which sucks. Last,
yes. I would imagine after losing seven toes, I'd be done. But on the other hand, I guess if you're that close,
yeah,
go for it.
One away. I think he tried K2 like four times.
Yes, he tried it many times and failed as far as I saw because of weather.
Yeah, yep. So
not because of lack of manliness.
That's right. Up that high, you get into the jet stream, so you can have like 200 mile per hour winds when you're on the surf. It's or on the peak.
If you just held like a windsurfing kite, you could just fly up there.
Well, there was a guy that was going to do that. He was going to take like one of those wingsuits off the top of Everest, but then there was that disaster, and so they canned it.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah, right?
Just let him do it.
Just do it over the corpses, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in trouble for that one. I can already tell.
Yes, you are. I'll beep that one out.
That's funny.
Probably not.
So again, congratulations on your enormous accomplishment. And we'll put some links in the show notes to just some more. Again, I know I babbled a lot, but I find this whole thing just super interesting, and hopefully you will too.
And maybe he'll contact us and talk to us about it.
Yeah, we can sponsor him if he's not sponsored. And he'll just put up a big self-proclaimed intellectual sign.
We can give him a t-shirt.
At the top of K2.
Yes, we'll do it.
All right.
Pandemonium.
All right, yes, this is our last segment called Pandemonium. And I'm pretty excited to have a Pandemonium segment on our third podcast.
That's right. We actually have at least a couple of fans happy about it.
That's amazing. And a couple is right because we have two letters.
But we had a billion to pick from, right?
Yes, it's true. We had to spend hours picking out just the letters we wanted.
Yep. we're sorry, President Obama. We did not get to yours, but we were very honored that you said
you know,
that.
If he had a different view on global warming, he probably
would have. Right. We would have said, all right, let's get him on.
Yep. Before we read the letters, I want to tell you about a special story I have.
A special story.
I was out with my beautiful family.
Mm-hmm.
We were walking the streets, hanging out, talking to people. This truck pulls up. Windows roll down. And this lady's like, I listened to your podcast. No joke.
Huh.
Yeah. Really? They were all excited. Now, this happened to be in our neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right in front of my house.
I was in Times Square in a truck drove.
And it might have been some neighbors, we kind of know. Okay. But still, hey, it was awesome.
Made
and
the rounds.
She said we sounded, I could get this wrong, like a Canadian pair, like a radio pair.
Yeah.
Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Somebody else told me the exact same thing.
And so I promised her, because I was so happy that she said something, I will do the rest of the segment with a Canadian accent. Oh. Which all that means is adding A to the end of almost everything I say.
You know
A?
What? That's going to be perfect. So,
hey.
So hand me the letter from Mr. Dan Ulrich, who sent us in.
Well, I got to find it here. Okay, there you go.
So Mr. Ulrich writes in, he says, gentlemen, I must say, I very much enjoy the podcast. Would not have thought a conversation about swearing could be so intellectual.
Hey.
Thank you, Dan. Hey. I have an interesting point to bring up on the topic. In Quebec, Canada, the Quebecois, inhabitants of Quebec, do not use the typical French swear words. They use words associated with church. A few examples are sacrament, baptism, and chalice. But, of course, the French Canadian version of that. These words, while harmless in English, are used profanely in Quebec when translated into French, that is. A Quebecois friend of mine tells me the use of church-related words as swear words started in the 60s, the 1960s, when there was a lot of discontent with the church. I suppose it's a sort of verbal rebellion. Very interesting case to look at. Thank you, Dan. That was very interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
I did a little bit of extra looking up this, too. So they call them sacré, as in sacré bleu.
Yeah.
But so things that are sacred or holy, and they, you know, they use words like baptim, calice, calvaire. So you can kind of imagine what some of those are.
You son of a church. Eh?
almost. and then
should I beep that? That out?
Yeah, that'll make it sound that much more authentic.
Yes.
So, actually, I looked up, too, and I came across the term minced oath. So you were talking about, like, your friend saying fudge instead
yes.
of the big F word.
Yes.
And that's actually, a. it's got a term. It's called a minced oath when you substitute a word like darn.
Wow, that's like my cousin, eh? He's up in northern Canada, eh? And he used to be like, all like, hey, you son of a goat, eh?
Uh-huh. this is the worst idea, Adam. Our souls are for sale here.
Okay.
to anyone that emails us in.
I tried.
I'm
back to American.
You know
sorry.
You got to serve the fans.
You know what's funny about this, though? It's exactly what we were kind of talking about in that segment, because listening to the fact that those were swear words, I just find amusing.
Yeah.
Because it's so ridiculous to me.
That's right. It doesn't really make any sense, but...
Yeah.
It's all content, how you use it. Context, how you use it.
Well, thanks for the email, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. We will send you a t-shirt for sure. And then, Adam, you want to read us the last one?
I got another email that was interesting, too, from Ed. And he writes, good podcast. Love listening to you guys. I used the first two segments, and I believe this was our second podcast. Mm-hmm. When I joined the Air Force, we took a long test to determine best fit for the job. I ended up driving every fueling truck. So this was with your segment about if technology could tell you what you'd be best at,
right,
would you
right.
call it?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently after the test, he drove a refueling truck.
Okay.
So.
And did he love it?
I don't know. He didn't type about it.
Oh, no.
Didn't get that back.
It has the answers.
And then he goes right into the next part, which, so that's what they told him he should do. Mm-hmm. And he said, but one day while in base operations, my CEO, anyone... asked if anyone wanted to learn how to use a computer. So it began, and I went for 40 plus years. Good job, good pay. So I'm assuming that he meant that's not what he wanted to do.
Mm.
But it was a very good job and very good pay.
He switched into the computer thing for the pay, for the, yeah.
Yes, but it says here, I dreamed of being a forest ranger.
Huh.
Which would have been awesome.
Gotcha,
right?
Yeah.
Because I just watched that Plains movie.
Uh-huh.
Forest and Rescue.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
But it was very interesting because, yeah, it's apparently the military has a test.
Gotcha.
And who knows if it works. Maybe we should look into that.
That's a great data point to look into. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Well, thank you, Ed, and thank you, everyone. And if you want to contact us for next time, please email us in at podcast@travislane.com.
I'm open to trying any accents.
Any accents, Adam will do.
Just let me know.
Taking them all.
Anything. Most interesting accent.
Afrikaans coming up. All right, guys. Well, that's going to conclude it for episode 3. We'll hear from you again, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.